Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters that you heard read earlier. This Gospel text this morning takes place in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It's only hours before he'll be arrested, so he tells his disciples what they should be expecting in the next days and weeks after he has died, risen from the grave, and ascended into heaven. Earlier that same evening, he taught the disciples that the world will hate them on account of him. The world will persecute them and kill them for his name's sake. And obviously, this left them sorrowful. It terrified them, causing them to fall into despair. And there were many other things that Jesus wanted to teach them, but the disciples had so much they couldn't bear anymore. They couldn't handle any more information. And at this point, anything else would have fallen on deaf ears. What they really needed was comfort and consolation. For 3 years, Jesus had been their counselor, providing them comfort during anxious times. He'd always been there for them, leading them and teaching them and encouraging them. But the next day, they would witness their counselor be crucified, viciously put to death on the cross. And less than 2 months later, he would ascend into heaven, leaving them to fend for themselves. So Jesus promised them that he would not leave them as orphans. In chapter 14, St. John records our Lord saying, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." St. John is the only New Testament writer that uses this word helper. It can also be translated as advocate, comforter, and counselor. And from our text this morning, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." When the Helper comes. On the night when our Lord was betrayed, he promised a helper. And 50 days after he was raised from the grave, on the day of Pentecost, he sent a helper. Proceeding from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of the disciples in an extraordinary way that you heard read earlier. But please don't forget that that day was no more extraordinary than the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on you in baptismal waters. At the font, it was ordinary water, but when it is combined with the living and active Word of God, it became a life-giving water, rich in grace, a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. And that was your personal day of Pentecost, when you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it was for the disciples, and so it is and will continue to be for you. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he is your helper and comforter throughout all your life to strengthen your faith and guide you through this world and keeping you in the Christian faith, to guard and protect you in the faith and sanctify you as you continue to grow stronger in that faith. In our text, Jesus describes this helper, comforter, counselor as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is opposed to the spirit of lies. The Spirit of truth comforts you with the truth of the gospel, as opposed to the lies of the devil, who is the father of lies, who wishes to steal God's truth away from you. The devil's two biggest weapons that he wages war against a Christian is your own sin and the wages of your sin. Regarding your sin, he accuses you of all those things you have done and all those that you have left undone. He accuses you of your anger and your gossip and your impure thoughts and every other little sin in between. Even those sins that God has long ago forgiven you, Satan accuses you of and condemns you. He says, you've reached your limit of forgiveness from God. You're out of luck. He wants you to join him in his kingdom. He reminds you that your good works are nothing but filthy rags before God. And regarding the wages of your sin, he tells you that your sins are too grievous, too heinous for God to forgive. He deceives you by saying that, no, 1 Peter chapter 3 doesn't really say baptism now saves you. Because the wages of sin is death, and you're a sinner, and you deserve death. He can't wait to take you into his kingdom where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All this time, he's hoping to make you doubt and drive you into deep despair. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been given the Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth given in baptism, who bears witness about Jesus, pointing you in all believers to the one who suffered and died on Calvary's cross to save you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, as you learned in confirmation class, you can no more believe in Jesus by your own reason or strength than, well, let's say then dry bones could put themselves together out on the wilderness floor. They can't make themselves alive because they're dead and dried out. But it's God himself who placed the Spirit of Truth within you and breathing into you life-giving breath in Christ Jesus so that you are now alive in him. In our text, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Here, Jesus describes his entire work of salvation. He must die and rise and return to heaven and be seated at the right hand of God the Father before he can send the Holy Spirit. Once Jesus' mission is complete, once his work is complete, his complete humiliation and his complete exaltation, including being seated at the right hand of God, then he could send the Helper. The Holy Spirit can't begin his work of applying Christ's redemption until Christ himself had finished it. Jesus goes on to say the three works of the Holy Spirit. He says when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus goes on to interpret his words of these three works of the Holy Spirit for all who don't understand what it is to live as a baptized child in Christ Jesus. He says, concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Working through God's word, the Spirit of Truth convicts and reproves the whole world of sin through the mirror of God's law. He convicts believer and unbeliever alike. Paul tells us that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no distinction. No one is exempt. Believer and unbeliever alike deserve the wages of sin. Because of your big sins, your little sins, your public and private sins, But there is one sin that separates and condemns one person from another. You and I look around and we see many seemingly pious and godly people, but God alone knows the heart. And there's that one sin that's handled differently by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, because they do not believe in me. It is only unbelief that condemns eternally. Unbelief brings judgment. It's the only sin that convicts everyone in the same way, and that's the sin of being apart from faith in Christ. The source and root of this unbelief is original sin, inherited by our wonderful grandpa, uncle, ancestor Adam. No one can claim that he is any better or any worse than anyone else on earth. You and me and all mankind are natural born enemies of God, guilty and deserving death. But in his rich love and mercy, God had compassion on you and all mankind, sending his Son into the world to take all your sin, all your shame onto the cross and take that God's punishment upon himself and to make a payment for your sin and mine and to reconcile us back with the Father by sacrificing his body and shedding his blood. God has given you the good news of Christ crucified for sinners. He has given the good news to the world. He's sent preachers to proclaim the gospel message. All who trust in Christ for forgiveness, life, and salvation, they are counted as righteous. But unfortunately, many refuse to believe. They refuse to acknowledge their sin and to receive God's gracious gift through Christ when the Spirit of truth convicts them of their sin. That person cannot blame the devil. That person cannot blame their old Adam, because Jesus' suffering and death has redeemed the sin of Adam and all mankind. Jesus has paid all the wages of sin, and he's removed all the condemnation. Christ's precious gift of life and salvation is already bought and paid for, yet many don't want to receive his gifts. They not only reject his precious gifts of life and salvation, they reject the Savior because, I'm doing a good job of my own. I don't need a Savior. Salvation and damnation hinge entirely on whether one believes or not, whether one trusts in Jesus for life and salvation or trusts in self. All who refuse Christ's gracious gift of life and salvation have pronounced judgment on themselves. Unbelief retains all of their sin, and it cannot obtain forgiveness. Just as faith delivers from all sin. Apart from faith in Jesus, even the best works in your life, or which anyone is capable of doing, apart from Jesus, all those wonderful, seemingly good works are nothing but filthy rags, sinful and unclean. But good works are commanded by our Lord God. But when they are corrupted by unbelief, they're not going to please him. Just as on the other hand, when good works flow from the faith of the Christian, they are pleasing to God. Apart from Christ, all are damned and lost. However, being in Christ, trusting him for forgiveness and salvation, all is good and blessed. Even the sin that you inherited from Adam, that is knitted within the very fiber of your being, with faith in Jesus, that original sin can no longer condemn you. Now, all of this being said, this doesn't mean you have a license to go out and sin. It doesn't mean that you should continue in sin so that grace may abound. St. Paul would say, by no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? You're a baptized believer in Christ Jesus. You don't have to live that way anymore, because baptism was your day of Pentecost, when you were given the gift of the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, to enable you to flee from sin and transgression. Will you be able to do it perfectly? Oh, by no means. We daily sin much. You'll trip and you will fall. And when you do, repent and trust in Jesus. Repent of your sin and trust in baptismal promises that you are God's child, adopted in baptismal waters, united to Christ, redeemed and forgiven, and now guided by the Spirit of Truth. Jesus says the Spirit of Truth will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of Truth will guide you into all the truth. If you just allow him, if you just trust in Jesus and his promises. We live in a world today that refuses to believe the truth. Many say that there is no truth. They'll say, well, whatever is true to you, that's good for you. But that's not my truth. My truth is different. Then, when that happens, truth becomes relative and subjective and uncertain. But let me tell you what the actual truth is. There is truth. God's word is truth, and it is absolute, and it is objected. And that's what you can be sure of and cling to. It's what is certain and sure, and you can build your lives upon it. It is God's word, and his word is truth. And the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will guide you in this truth. He will open the scriptures for you as you meditate on God's word, and you will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as you continue to come to worship and to Bible study and grow in your understanding in God's word. It'll be the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, who is guiding you. It's not your own work. It is all God's, guiding you into the truth. And for the sake of Jesus, God will see you as righteous. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.